Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Maybe I should ask Steve Martin, who just walked in, how does one prepare for Harris K. Telemacher, that wonderful weatherman in L.A. stories?
Well, I was just listening to your illustrious weatherman do 500 words when he could have said rainy clearing.
That's how you do it.
They have to make a big job out of this. So I didn't have to prepare that much because I knew rainy clearing would be enough.
That would be it. We went to the Steppenwolf Studio Theater the other night. First of all, it was very exciting news when we first heard that Steve Martin had written his first play.
Right.
Picasso at Lapin Agile. Lapin, is that, that's rabbit, isn't it?
Well, it was actually a pun. It was it's an actual bar in Paris.
Oh, it is?
It is, that Picasso hung out in when he was 23 years old.
Oh.
And it's actually a pun on Lapin Agile. It's kind of complicated, but it was...
Actually, friends, it's dirty, so we can't get into it on the air.
Well, it's not quite dirty, but we can make it dirty if you want.
No, it's all right. It was exciting when we heard that Steve was going to bring his play to Chicago, but then to see it the other night as we did, and as far as we know, it's going to play as long as, I guess, people will come to see it in Chicago.
I think that's the way plays usually work, but, you know.
This, to sit in an audience and find as much amusement, I mean, let's face it, to laugh mm-hmm. at people and situations, but at the same time, I was thinking about it afterwards. I turned to my wife and I, going home, and I said, you know, it's almost like I was in Philosophy 101. Because you have given us so much to think about.
Well, actually, at the moment you turned to your wife, I don't even know this or not, I was in the back seat.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
I was very curious about what you really thought. Well, naturally, you know, you would come back and say, I loved it, because you're not going to say, I hated it, Steve. Right, come exactly. Do the interview.
Right.
So I had to get in the back seat there. But
anyway, you were pleased at what you heard.
Yeah, I was very pleased.
Well, I was pleased at what I saw, to be honest with you. The concept of this play, for those of you who have not heard yet, and you will be hearing a lot about it, the young Einstein and the young Picasso...
Right.
Meet.
Right. Two men, they didn't actually meet, this is hypothetical, but the setting is largely true, and Picasso was 23 and Einstein was 25, and Einstein was had just I don't know if you could say discovered or invented the theory of relativity at age 25, and he was unpublished, and no one really knew about this, and Picasso was having major breakthroughs as a young artist. And he was a year or two away from one of his masterpieces, although he was painting them the whole time. And I was just curious about people at that age and what they were thinking and how it was mixed with youth and intelligence and the love of art and creation. So that's, you know, the comedy comes out of their youth and, you know, wanting to have fun.
It's not fair to give away anything, but I want the audience to know the devious mind of... we already know the devious mind of Steve Martin because we've been watching and listening for years. But there is a spectacular scene. I would call it the dueling pencil scene.
Right.
That's all I have to say. Maybe you.
Well, it's Einstein and Picasso. You know, one is a scientist and one is an artist. And, of course, Picasso mistrusts the scientist, and Einstein doesn't like that because he thinks he's an artist too in certain ways. So they have a challenge, which we won't go into.
No.
Save it for the audience.
Exactly. But it's dueling pencils. I also want to thank Steve Martin for deciding to come to Chicago and to bringing this work to a company like Steppenwolf.
Well, Steppenwolf is an honor for me, really. It works the other way. I'm really glad they wanted to do it.
I was doing a commercial earlier this morning, and the subject of The Fugitive came up, and I said, I wonder if our audience realizes that this wonderful Hollywood director, Andy Davis, has a dad who is probably one of Chicago's great actors, Nate, and we see him.
Yes, that's true.
This terrific role in your play.
Well, I guess that's why I'm always sort of performing around Nate, because I'm hoping he'll tell his son about me.
Do you know Andy? Have you guys met?
No, I haven't met.
Oh, he's a, well, as you know, he's a bright young man.
Yeah, I hate that. probably why I won't meet him.
Who has made a terrific movie. Listen, got to take care of a little bit of business. Steve Martin is here, and...
Was this the part where I pay you for the interview?
No, no, not yet. No, we'll talk about that later. Our news guy, Steve Bertrand, who sits with me every Saturday morning and does the news, said to me, he said, you know, I've got this, do you remember when Steve Martin's book, Cruel Shoes, came out? And I said, well, sure, everybody remembers that. He said, well, look, I said, can I borrow your copy? Unfortunately, I did not know until he handed me this copy of your book just a few minutes ago that it was stolen from the Manteno District Library.
Well, I don't know if stolen is the right word. It's just a little overdue.
Yeah, what do you own, about 19,000 on it?
What is it? Look at the card. Is there a card inside?
Yeah, there's a card inside.
When was it? When did
I'm actually ashamed that your library would have this book.
Well, they don't anymore.
Yeah, it's better. It's better that it's out.
Yes, let me see. Let me look in this thing and see when you took it out. Oh, hey, come on, Bertrand. 1979?
Well, you know, there's a lot to it, and I wanted to make sure I
finished it yet.
Actually, they caught me, and I lost it for a while. I paid for it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's paid
for.
Oh,
it has been paid for.
Yeah.
Well, that makes us feel a little bit better. I do want to tell Steve Martin something, and I hope it pleases him. Since we had a chance to announce that you would be coming over, mm-hmm. I cannot recall as many people who have either called and said, this is great, here's a guy that perhaps was one of the first people who turned me on to comedy, or here's a guy who I have gone to see when you were doing stand-up. Well, you were here. What'd you do, like Mr. Kelly's?
I worked Mr. Kelly's, right?
Yeah, sure.
With Oliver. Good morning, Starshine.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Whatever happened to Oliver? Well, that's a whole other story, I guess. But there are so many people that you have touched.
How did you know that? Oh, I see what you mean.
I hear. Yeah. But a man whose career, I mean, from a wild and crazy guy to a philosopher, in a sense, certainly the play that we saw the other night at Steppenwolf couldn't have been written by somebody who didn't spend a good deal of time thinking.
Well, or at least typing. I don't know.
Does one have to become successful in one medium in order to perhaps do what's kind of really in the back of your mind?
Well, no, actually, it's more difficult if you're successful in one medium. People, I've found, don't like it if you change. You know, I'm expecting it to be difficult as a, you know, people think of me as an actor, although I've written at least 8 screenplays.
Well, and you want to...
Nobody seems to know it.
Well, you got yourself an Emmy when you were writing for the old
right.
Smothers Brothers
show.
Yeah.
Oh, that was with a group of writers, too. So it's a little more difficult, I think, actually, to be one thing and try something else, just in the perception of mainly the media. But you know, you can't let that stop you. You just have to keep struggling.
As you say that, I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't bring this up. No, why? Because I happen to like it. I'm thinking of a movie called Pennies from Heaven,
mm-hmm.
which was such a departure for you.
Complete departure. I knew at the time, Pennies from Heaven followed a movie I did called The Jerk.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was quite a difficult transition for the audience, you know, to see The Jerk doing this sort of very serious film.
But you wanted to do it.
Yeah, I sort of had to. Just emotionally, I had to mm-hmm. break away from something. But you don't want to hear this. I pay $350 an hour to talk about this.
Actually, it wasn't a bad career choice. I mean, it showed people that you could do something else.
Well, also, at the time, I knew that it was a bad choice now, but 10 years from now, no one would remember that it came after The Jerk and before The Man with Two Brains.
I'm sorry I brought it up. Opening now in Chicago, it's in previews with the official opening to follow in a short while, is a new play. It's the first play from the fertile mind of Steve Martin, Picasso at the Lapin Agile, which now we find out is a real
place. Many of the characters in the play are actually real, too. The bartender, Freddie, and his girlfriend, Germaine.
Oh, really?
Yes. The art dealer who's there.
How about Schmendemann?
Well, Schmendemann is... one of my favorite characters in the play. He kind of represents the, you know, Einstein and Picasso represent the solid, true genius, true artist, true great, truly great person. And Schmendemann kind of represents the popular idea of who's kind of hot at the time. And, you know, there's many examples of people who have enormous successes and then are never heard from and are completely forgotten 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And Schmendemann kind of represents that. And it's about how all the attention can go to these people. And 10 years later, you say, oh, I see, Lenny Bruce was actually the greatest, you know, person, not so-and-so, who might have been the most popular person on television at the time.
It's a wonderful way to get that thought across.
Well, thanks.
There is another interesting...
And I mean that. Thanks.
There is another interesting discussion that Picasso and Einstein have, and that they don't really seem to understand what each of them does.
Well, I've there's a prejudice in people's minds that science and art are quite different. And I've always seen them as I've seen the process as being very much the same, because sort of physicists, certainly, they have to dream and they have to imagine. And it's not just an examination of facts and then they come up with a theory. Usually the theories come first. And then they sort of examine the world and see if the facts can fit it, so to speak. So these, like the theory of relativity, really had no precedence.
Yeah.
It just had to come full-blown in his head. And I view that as very much like the artistic process. And so in the course of the play, these two men recognize that they work the same.
Hmm. In fact, isn't there a line early in the play when Einstein wants Picasso to name something, and he says, "I see things that can't be named."
Yes, Picasso says that.
Yeah,
yeah. It's actually a girl he's tried to pick up. He's told this to a girl, and she's reiterating it.
Yeah.
And she says, when someone says they see things that can't be named, you either want to run like hell or go with it. And I'm going with it, and that's why I'm here. But I think that's true about artists. They conceive something that is yet unnamed, that doesn't have words to define it. And, you know, many times ideas are thought up and then a new word comes into being later.
Right. Of course, this is a wonderful opportunity, is it not, for Steve Martin to get a lot of things off his mind? It's an opportunity for you as a playwright to say some things that...
Definitely. I found in screenplays it's... You really have to keep the thing moving, and you can't really pause for dialogue. And in a play, if you want, you can have a character digress or mm-hmm. do a 10-minute dissertation on the inner tube if you want, as long as it's interesting.
And actually, the thing I rather liked about this play, you don't hesitate to let the character or the actor let the audience in on a few things that are going on.
Say that again.
Let the character. Well, there's one character who's going to leave for a short while. And he's willing to let the audience in on a little bit of stage.
Oh, right.
I mean,
yes.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, there are really no boundaries. I mean, there are no rules. You can really...
Well, we're talking like it's quite serious, and certain parts of the play are quite serious, but mainly it's a comedy, and these ideas are put across in a funny way, I hope. And, there's a lot of laughs in the play.
Oh, there certainly are. Yeah. Certainly. Well, there certainly were the other day.
Yeah.
And you've only had, what, two or three previews?
Right.
So,
we're very new right now.
A work in formation.
Right.
Did you find it that much more difficult to write a play compared to a screenplay?
No, I found it easier.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Because there's, when you write a screenplay, you're constantly censoring yourself. Because you're always thinking about moving on, getting going, what's the budget, where's the set, I got to get out of this scene, you can't be in it too long. And in a play, you're in essentially the same set all the time, so there's no urgency to move on other than to not be boring, which is my guiding principle.
You're right. No, I used to have a radio producer. In fact, we always have a producer who screens phone calls and mm-hmm. points his finger when you're supposed to do. And every once in a while, I'd be getting into this long discussion, and I would suddenly hear in my earphone, "Boring." And that's when I said, "We'll be back after this message." Good morning, Carol.
Hi.
Steve Martin is brightening up our morning a bit. Did you want to join in on the conversation?
Absolutely.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Like everybody, I adore your comedy, and I adore some of your comedies that maybe the critics or the public didn't fall out over, like Pennies from Heaven and My Blue Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know...
I'm never doing another movie with heaven in the title.
Oh, no, you must.
I wonder why.
You know how they say, people will say, Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire were great dancers, but they were really great as singers of the 40s. You know,
that's true.
Well, I think people are going to say about you when we're long gone that you were a great dancer of the 80s, but nobody noticed. I think you're a wonderful...
Very good.
You're not only a good dancer, but you're a witty dancer. You're a smart dancer, and there's a difference. So I want to know if you're as passionate about dance as you seem to be.
Well, are you a dancer?
A little.
Uh-huh. Are you dancing now?
No.
Oh.
But I'm crazy, and when I see a really good dancer, I mean, I think Chris Walken was terrific.
Oh, he's great. I really don't think of myself as an even good dancer. I've always been able to learn what I had to learn, and I think part of the secret of my whatever you want to call it, dancing success, whatever the sideways word of success would be, is, it's like Carl Reiner told me once. He said, "You look like a guy when you dance. You look like a guy who looked at Fred Astaire and said, 'I can do that.'"
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's only because I'm so amateur at it that it has any kind of style to it at all, I guess.
Well, that's what it does have, is a great deal of style. I mean, every time that merengue goes on in My Blue Heaven, I go nuts. It's so wonderful. I bought the tape for that. Not that I don't love the film, but that particular scene, if I'm having a bad, depressed day, give me that when you dance with Rick Moranis and clasp your hand to his hip.
Yeah.
I'm in heaven.
Well, I can dance as, it's like a lot of people can sing as a character, but can't sing as themselves, and I think that's what I do. I can, in a movie I did called Leap of Faith, I learned Irish step dancing.
That's right, I forgot that.
Because I wanted the character of this preacher to have this sort of strange look to him, and it has a strange look. It's quite beautiful. Usually it's done by 16-year-old girls, but that's why it looks strange on me.
I'm Irish, so I can say this. It's so totally Irish Catholic because it has no relationship to the body. It's just the legs and the arms.
Right, absolutely. And the upper
body. And the
naughty
parts of the body are totally out of it.
That's why I loved it, because the upper body was so still, it looked like you were in a trance.
Carol, have you seen that Brian Friel play, Dancing at Lunasa?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
It's
wonderful.
Yeah. When those sisters get up, and she gets up on that table and starts dancing.
It's quite beautiful.
Well, I never saw a step dance be so full of life and even erotic, because step dance is usually done in a way that you think that they've got, you know, some kind of Catholic scapular wrapped around the body.
But that's part of the beauty of it, I think.
Weren't you waiting for a second dance? We were all waiting for an explosive. That's a cliche, but an explosive end of the play dance. And I went back again to see it, just to see the dance again, you know. Anyway, I'm coming to see your play, and I'm a great fan.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
I'm sure I will. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
Bye.
Carol. I'm glad you mentioned Leap of Faith. I like that film.
Oh, thanks.
A lot.
It's a lot of fun to make that. Yeah. I've always wanted to play. I love those characters. It's a great role for an actor. Revivalist, revival meetings, and leading people, and these musical ecstasies.
Yeah, me convinced.
I enjoyed it.
Good. I think that's available on video now, by the way. It's 11:30 in the morning, WGN in Chicago. Steve Martin's debut as a playwright, Picasso at the Le Pain Agile, is now at the Steppenwolf Studio Theater. By the way, Steppenwolf is over in Halstead. It's just a little bit north of North Avenue. For those who've never been there before, there are parking lots on either side. I mean, it's a convenient theater.
It's a great place.
And that studio upstairs, isn't that a great setting?
Yes, it's really, really nice. And it's brand new. This is the first time they've had a play in there. Literally 4 days ago, it was a huge barn.
Well, I saw it when they were building the building. And when I walked in the other night and saw the seats and everything, I was amazed.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's lovely.
All right, Steve Martin is here with his debut as a playwright, sharing conversation with us on the radio on the 16th of October. Leanne!
Hello, Mr. Leonard.
Hi, Leanne.
By the way, say hi to Steve
Martin. And Mr. Martin.
Oh, call me Steve.
Oh, Steve, okay. I just wanted
to... when we planned this, prearranged this phone call, you were calling me Steve.
I just wanted you to know about a book that I'm aware of because of the college that I work for, and it's called Gödel Escherbach.
I know that book.
Okay.
Douglas Hofstadter.
Yes, he's a professor in New York, and
I love him. His other book, Metamagical Themas, is one of my favorite books in the world.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to be sure that you knew of that book so that if you hadn't read it, you could
see
the commonalities that they pointed out between the sciences and
math. I'm just looking up the word commonalities.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. For the uninitiated, what is it about?
Do you want to do it, Mr. Martin, or do you want me to?
No, you do it because I've never read it.
Okay. Oh, well,
which is what I usually do. But
Can I say the name of my college, or is that okay?
Well, no, of course you can.
Okay. I work for Elmhurst College, and we've taught several times the book Gödel Escherbach as a...
Is that the way it's pronounced, by the way?
Well, I think so. Isn't Gödel the mathematician, Escher the physicist, and Bach, of course, is Bach, the musician?
I thought, isn't Escher the artist?
Oh, is he the artist?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he does
I guess I'm a little nervous.
That's all right. Here, take my hand.
Oh, that would be nice. No, the book, what it does is it looks for the dynamics of similarity between the arts, the sciences, and music, and then describes how those elements come together for those different geniuses in those fields.
Hmm.
And our the expert that I work with at the college is our biology professor, Dr. Mittermeier, and he's taught the book several times, and it's just been a wonderful experience for our students, and given what your play is trying to do, which I thought just sounded fascinating, I wanted to be sure you knew of that book.
Well, you reminded me of it, and I think I even have a copy, but I haven't quite read it, because Metamagical Themas is about 900 pages long.
Yes, I know they're very, very long academic yeah. work.
Leanne? But they're actually quite fun to read. There's nothing academic about Douglas Hofstadter. It's comedy. It's delightful.
Mm. He's wonderful to
yeah.
talk to.
Leanne. Oh, have you talked to him?
I've talked to him on the phone because I tried to get him here for a speaking engagement at the college, and the timing didn't work out, but it was still really neat to talk to somebody who's written something that intellectual and yet is so
yeah.
approachable.
Yeah, that's a guy I'd like to meet.
Leanna, if you're free Wednesday night, I'd love you to be our guest at the Steppenwolf Studio Theater. I know you'll enjoy Steve's play.
That would be wonderful.
All right, be our guest. Hang on. That's all right. A little surprise here. Give Andy your address, and we'll see to it that you get the tickets. All right? Harris.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Hi, Harris.
Hi, Steve. How you doing? Steve, I'm a banjo player here in Chicago.
Right.
I play all the time.
Five-string banjo?
Pardon me?
Five-string?
Five-string, yes.
Yep.
And play a lot. And, you know, you've always been a banjo player in my mind. And do you still play?
Well, I play for myself sometimes. I'll pick it up, and sometimes I'll maybe put on a record and play along with it. And I actually, I recorded an album of banjo music that no one has ever heard in their life. I was actually releasing a comedy album, and I didn't have enough material.
Actually, I checked that out from our library, and I had it for the
past 10 years.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure you did, Bertrand.
What was the album ever published?
Oh, yeah. It was called The Steve Martin Brothers, and on one side was comedy, on the other side was this banjo music that I wrote.
You're kidding. Basically bluegrass stuff?
All bluegrass.
Did the banjo playing, how has it helped you? I mean, how did you get involved in it? And, you know, I used to use it on stage a lot, right?
Yeah.
Do you still do it? And
no, I don't work on stage anymore, but I just, when I was 18 years old, I heard Earl Scruggs, and I said, that's what I want to do.
Mm.
And,
did you ever meet this guy, Stephen Wade?
No.
He's a Chicagoan, and he's been doing a show that involves, he plays like four or five different banjos.
Mm-hmm.
He does a whole evening. He's a storyteller.
Right.
But he uses the banjo to
right.
accompany himself.
Well, you have to understand there's quite a difference between the five-string banjo and the four-string banjo.
So when he's doing like an old-time style. It's
right.
completely
yeah.
different.
Five-string or four-string?
He's doing a five-string
uh-huh.
old-time
yeah.
style.
Well, I love the old-time style
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, right. Who was the publisher on the album? What label?
It was Warner Brothers. It's out of print, but you might be able to find one somewhere. I only have like two copies left now. It's sort of...
Mm. You know, everything's coming out in CD. Somebody's
yeah,
going to...
I don't think this is going to come out in CD.
You don't think so?
Well, I'll let you go. I just think
hey, Harris, yeah. we got another pair of tickets for the Wednesday night performance at Steppenwolf of Steve's play.
Well, I'll bring my banjo.
Well, but don't play it during the show. Please, Harris.
No, I won't do that. I'll play it out in the hallway, and I'll play it out in the street, you know, to...
That's all right, Harris.
I'm really glad to know you're coming, Harris.
Oh, it's important. I got gray hair, too, so...
Oh,
you
know, great.
Be very
don't
thin.
Bring it up. Come on.
Oh, I don't mind.
Bye, Harris. No, don't hang up.
Oh, bring up the banjo.
Comedian, actor, screenwriter, playwright now, Steve Martin. Steve, the difference, of course, in writing a screenplay from that of a play we've talked a little bit about, and yet from your point of view, a screenplay once written, once filmed, that's it. It's on celluloid.
Right.
You can't change anything. You have the... I guess it's the pleasure now of standing maybe up there in the darkened Steppenwolf Studio Theater, watching your work unfold, and you can change it if
yes,
you want
it's
to.
A delight to be standing back there watching the actors doing their best, you know, which I just admire them so much for. And then you hear a line, and you just start to think, that could be better, and you come up with a line, and you try it the next show.
Oh.
And it's such a reward. We've had so many... times in just the last 3 days where maybe an actor would suggest something or I would suggest something and they try it and it's just a winner.
That's
and you just
great.
Feel so good because that was something that wasn't there yesterday. And in a movie, you can't do
yeah.
that. The only thing you can do is take things out.
Mm.
You know?
have you had the pleasure of being involved in the editing of any of your films?
Well, yes, as a kibitzer, definitely.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, I enjoy that process. I
yeah.
think I'm actually... it's something I like to do.
Right. Let's get back to the telephones, all right? Hello, Sally.
Hello.
Hi, Sally.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
We admire your work in our house.
Oh, good.
My question is, how tough a sell was it for you to get backers for such an unlikely topic for a play?
Well,
it doesn't sound like comedy material.
Yeah, I know it doesn't, but it actually...
it's very funny.
It actually suits quite well. I think comedy suits this quite well because it makes it, first, a lot of fun, more palatable.
Sure.
And there's a lot of humor in it. You know, there just naturally is.
So you were able to sell backers on this, or did
it's not quite the way it works. I wrote the play over the last 2 years, and then I workshopped it in Australia for 2 nights. I actually hired some actors.
No kidding.
At my expense, and we read it and performed it 2 nights with the actors walking around with the scripts in their hands. We didn't memorize it, and then I sent it to Steppenwolf, and they wanted to do it. So it was quite easy. And
well, good for you.
Well, I mean, it's a different situation at Steppenwolf because they're already backed, you know, so I didn't have to take it around to producers or anything.
So you didn't have to shop it around. That's terrific.
Well, yeah. Are you a playwright?
No. No, I just enjoy plays. I'm in awe of people that can do this.
Uh-huh. So you're in awe of me then?
Yes.
Oh, why didn't you just say that right off the bat instead of letting me just ramble on?
Do we have another pair? I'm looking at up in the control room to see if I have another pair of tickets. Because if I do, Sally, and you want to come in and enjoy the laughter that we enjoyed the other night.
Oh, golly, would I ever.
Well, you just hang on for a minute, all right?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're not going to give away the whole house. I don't want you to sit
no,
and
I understand.
Worry about that. Nor do I want the folks at Steppenwolf to worry about that either. I'm glad you brought... We've got to talk more about this humor. One of the... I guess it's sort of a fallacy, and that is that... because a person's life is based on a serious subject, like an Einstein or a Picasso, that doesn't necessarily mean that that individual can't be witty.
Not at all. But actually, that's not really what I'm talking about. I mean, in dealing with a topic like this in a play, I wanted it to be a comedy. And, you know, there's word games and there's twists of words, and there's the confusion of, you know, there's a natural inherent comic topic here where someone's talking about something so complicated to people, you know, who right. might have trouble understanding it. Yeah. So there's an inherent comedy thing there.
We might add, by the way, Jeff Perry, who plays Albert Einstein, this is one of the best performances I've seen on the stage in Chicago in a while.
Oh, really?
And so early. I mean, again, you're in previews now. You've only had 2 or 3 performances.
Yes.
But he has nailed this character.
Yes, he has. And he looks a lot like him, too. He's somehow managed to do that. But, you know, all the actors, I think, are really doing a great job. I'm so pleased with
them. I'm thrilled. I mean, I knew, of course, about Einstein. And
I mean, that doesn't mean I'm going to talk to them.
Yeah. And Picasso. But to find out that these other characters in your play are based on... real people.
Yes, most of them are.
Where do you get the background for this?
Well, they have these things called books.
Oh, really?
What you do?
Oh, well, tell us more, Steve.
You can go to the library. Actually, there's a great book on Picasso called "A Life of Picasso" by John Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been studying. I mean, I'd been interested in Picasso and Einstein my whole life.
Right. Steve Martin, live on the Roy Leonard Show on a Saturday. All right. Final question, because you got a rehearsal today too.
A rehearsal, and I have lunch.
Oh, my. All right, and it's 14 minutes before 12. Okay, Lou.
Yes.
Question, quick.
Steve, what are your plans after this?
I'm starting a movie that I wrote down in Atlanta called Twist of Fate.
Oh, again, and what's that basically about?
Oh, it's too complicated and too far away. It's
writers,
like a year away.
Writers hate to, you know, to tell people ahead of time.
I see.
All right.
One other question. Now, will you take this play and, like, bring it to all the other cities? Or, I mean, is that what happens then?
Well, that's yet to be determined. I want to see how it goes here. And because I'm starting a film right away, I'm actually doing 2 films back to back. I can't really... launch it in other places yet. So,
I'm looking forward to seeing this. I really am.
Well, thanks, Lou.
Again, the play having its world premiere at our Steppenwolf Studio Theater, Picasso at the La Pin Agile, will play as long as people come to see it. I wouldn't wait if I were you, though. If you're looking for one of those.
Why, you think it's going to close?
Steve, you never know. No, for those of you who want to be stimulated, for those of you who want to have a good laugh, one final thing, nobody else brought it up. I wanted to bring up Roxanne only because it is one of the most enjoyable films
of
the past decade. And we're going to go to New York in a couple of weeks because they have made a musical version of Cyrano de Bergerac.
Right.
And I'm not really sure whether I'll be sitting there wishing I were watching Roxanne. I'm not really sure. I'm kind of looking forward to it because it's such a wonderful story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
Was that, again, one of those things that Steve Martin said, I've got to do this sometime?
Yeah, it was. And, in writing the screenplay for it, I really studied the play. And the more you study the play, the more you realize how intricate and well-developed the play is. It's quite beautiful.
It's a pleasure to have you come over. I appreciate it because I know you're a busy man. It's enlightening, and you've brightened up the morning considerably. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And remember, Picasso at the Lapin Agile, Steve Martin's first play, having its world premiere at our own Steppenwolf Theater.